Excellent. Well, good morning. It's always good to be the first speaker in any presentation because we just have a handful of folks. So I'm going to just conduct this as we normally would in a class. So I'll be going through, I'll make some comments. Anytime there's a question or if I'm going too fast, okay, I don't mind being interrupted. Very good. Just to stay within my time zone, we call it the 21st century because we're beginning to address this major dilemma that the World Bank and others have talked about over the years, that we're running out of good agricultural soil, we're running out of water for irrigation, we're having competition with urbanization as well as industry, and it's global. It's not just in this country, it's not just in China, it's in all countries. We have an opportunity to feed a larger number of people if we improve the productivity and if we begin to incorporate more agriculture in some of our marginal soils. So today we have Wei Zhuang with us this morning. Andre Guber is also one who has done considerable quantity of modeling for us. So we'll move right through this whole process. What I wanted to point out here, and I'll just use the cursor so that both screens work. If you notice which countries and regions of countries have a high water scarcity, China in the Middle East, down into parts of Africa, parts of Western United States, and many more, if we look at the moderate water security of the areas of this globe, have the potential, if we can develop a much more water use efficiency, we have the potential to begin to increase a lot of research and productivity. I just thought I'd give you a very brief summary. It was 10 years ago we started a program of teaching students in turf grass management, and I was asked to teach soil physics. Wei Zhuang now is doing this as well. And we send faculty over for 2 or 3 week periods of time, but during that period of time I got to know many of you from the College of Agriculture, the Chinese College of Agriculture University, CAU. And so we began to give seminars and have discussions with many folks. And one of the things that came to at least my attention is highlighted in red here, that you just have 7% of the world's productive soils, but you have 1/4 of the world's population. And of course, your number of cities are growing, especially the larger ones, over 1 million. And there's just much more need to have more agricultural close to the urban regions. We hope you don't follow our trends over here where we truck vegetables halfway or all the way across the continent from California to New York. And you're moving very nicely in the direction of finding somewhere in the neighborhood of food production in China that is sustainable even on marginal soils. And as I interacted with several scientists within China, some of you here, of course, we were reminded that Inner Mongolia has a tremendous opportunity to feed the large growing urban areas of northeastern China. The Xinjiang province obviously is not highly populated, but again, it has the potential with water resources close to the mountains and the sandy soil to incorporate what we call the subsurface water retention technology. We started with putting in polyethylene membranes. These are 30 centimeters by 15 centimeters deep, and these are installed at depths in the sand based upon the capillary rise from each one of these barrier interiors. We don't want to have them too close to the surface if it's a fine textured soil, because we're going to have wet surface, loss of water, disease of plants, etc. So just to give you a little bit of background, and then we'll talk about the application, the SWART membrane has been able to be incorporated into the soils in 4 states in the United States. That's Arizona, Texas, California, and Michigan. And we were irrigating at multiple periods of time, usually at 2 to 3 day intervals, and we discovered even if we irrigated these sandy soils with too much water, it would drain very quickly. So we soon learned it was time for us to irrigate somewhere a little less than 20% volumetric water content. And I should mention these solid lines are at 15 centimeters, and these are soil moisture at 30 centimeters. But if there were no membranes and we continued to irrigate, we would lose approximately 1 million liters of water for every crop season. That's about 100, 110 days. Dr. Andre Guber helped us decide and develop what was the best aspect ratio, the 2-to-1. That's the picture I showed you earlier. It's twice as wide as deep. We modeled this on Hydrus 2D and looked at what happens to the water after a period of time, 6 days and 4 days, etc., when these aspect ratios were 3 times wider than deep or 5 times wider than deep. What we're looking for, of course, is opportunity to apply this to sandy loams, perhaps some of the loamy sands. We've got some preliminary data to show that we can even put it into pure loam soils and increase this water holding capacity to a reasonable plant available level. Just very briefly, what we showed here, in 11 days, the best 2-to-1 ratio gave us essentially 2.5 times more water in 11-day period. So we could cut back the irrigation frequency to 11 days. In contrast to the 5-to-1 ratios, irrigation would need to be applied probably every 2 or 3 days to increase this 41 to somewhere in the neighborhood of 230. Just very briefly, some of the photos from Michigan. We can see the border plots, no controls, no irrigation, no membranes. And then as we moved into the treatments of irrigated with no membranes, we could see, yes, much better growth, but we were still finding, especially in the warm heats of the middle summer days, July and August, there was still symptoms of water stress. Just beside that, again, with the same amount of irrigation, you see these are drip irrigation tapes, we could, with the membranes, we could keep at least the visual symptoms of drought stress to a very minimum. Again, looking a little later on in this, I guess earlier in the season, during a hot day, you could see very easily what was happening with no membranes on the left, membranes and irrigated on the left, which gave us then over 17 metric tons per hectare of corn maize grain. And compared that to just the next treatment over about 30 feet away, still irrigated with surface drip irrigation, and we could produce somewhere in the neighborhood of 9.7. These are just some visual symptoms of with the membranes on the left, without the membranes on the right. The same thing is true with the membranes in the left now. In 2014, where we had a better rainy season, we irrigated less. We were, of course, continually measuring soil moisture with the Decagon soil moisture monitoring devices, and then compare that to the non-irrigated control with no membrane. So as we looked across a 3-year period, 2012 to 2014, the maize increases compared to the farmer's situation of growing in Michigan, of growing maize on sands with no irrigation, they would have somewhere in the neighborhood of 5.2 metric ton per hectare. In contrast, as we had the membranes plus irrigation, we saw a 235% increase. Now this is just this past year. Harvest was about 5 weeks ago, so it's a very preliminary set of data, but you can see the same sort of thing. Dry land with rather frequent rainfall this year in 2015, we still produce somewhere, I'm sorry, this is back in bushels per acre, that we had somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1/2 to 1/3 of what we would produce on the irrigated with swart or in the controls itself. Then one of the other points I'd like to mention here, and I think it's very applicable to the marginal soils in China, is that we can begin with these membranes, and again this is just data from a few months ago, we can begin to save considerable quantities of nitrogen in the soil on the green, which is the membranes, irrigated swart membranes, okay, versus the control non-irrigated. Same amounts of fertilizer were applied, both received rainfall. If we add all of this together, we can save somewhere in the neighborhood of 41 kilograms per hectare, but we're seeing 47% increases in retention in September, and 84% increases here. We're very interested also what these membranes can do for this ecosystem services. And one of the many opportunities we have is to reduce, we can double production with half the water, but we can begin to reduce quantities of leaching into the groundwater. And those of us who are familiar with what's happening with some of the high fertigation systems in China and some of the very high concentrations of nitrates in the groundwater, we see that the potential here for sequestering carbon, sequestering nitrogen, producing more cellulosic biofuels, in addition to grains of very high quantities, we can reduce the loss of surface soil phosphorus, because with the moisture that's in the soil for Michigan, again, and I think it's true for Inner Mongolia, is we can develop a cover crop that would reduce any erosion, because we have a lower saline soil system inside of these membranes. So we're saving somewhere in the neighborhood of 40% of at least nitrogen and potassium, and it's even higher if we can stop any kind of surface erosion. We've been working with some of the greenhouse gas productions of CO2, nitrous oxide. It minimizes those because two reasons. It's very low in soil carbon, it's very low in microbial activity. Just recently, we've worked with Dr. TG in our microbial ecology center, and we're finding that swort will also give us a uniquely different 16S ribosomal indication of microbial colonies, microbial communities that are changing with and without the membranes. We're not far enough along to say more than we're of that. We have a significant change on the membranes and off the membranes. And hopefully next year we'll have a whole lot more data then to convince us that we might be able to farm by modifying the microbial population of the root zone of specifically maize and other crops. So what we're doing with all of this now is having discussions with Dr. Yang in Beijing, and some of you might know that the Hatao area is his homeland of China. And so he and I, plus several others that you see here, are working together. I've visited the sites. We've had a lot of diagrams and exchanges. There are major proposals submitted. Some have been funded. That Dr. Yang is very active in. What we're working for, and I had to put in how well we were fed in the Hatao Irrigation District as well. So they've got food over there. What else is new in China? Yes? Okay, well, we were very graciously hosted, taken out to the field to see how some of the drip irrigation is working, some of the new research sites a little south of the Hatao Irrigation Project. They're involved with using all kinds of drones and surface imaging of what's happening here. These are some of the plans and research plots, of course. Then a little farther north and west, it was interesting to see that over the years there has been these windbreaks established by the government support. So it's now we're able to at least reduce much of the wind speed that's causing erosion, surface erosion of the sand. So they're bulldozing off the 2 to 3 meter high sand dunes. And we're using these machines that you see in the lower region here to install these membranes with single passes of vehicles. So here's the layout and the type of farm that they want us to put more of these membranes under the root zone. What they've done here is they've leveled this off, but you can see there's still wind erosion of the sand. So we're going to need much closer than these windbreaks every 2 to 3 kilometers across the landscape. But what they can do then is they can plant the seeds, they irrigate. You can see some of the drip tape that's here. It's exposed. They try to cover it with surface mulch of plastic. It's working probably at about 40%. I'm sure if we can put membranes in there, we can have much more moisture retained in that root zone for a longer period of time. So that's in the Hidatsa Irrigation District, and the last one is really a group of creative scientists across the country. These are just in two locations. These are in the Xinjiang province. I always mispronounce that, so pardon my English. But the northwest China, they are hand digging in these membranes across, these are about 100 meters long, and growing tomatoes and cotton, which are about the only crops that grow in these high saline soils. So with the water retention and with irrigating the soil inside of these membranes, we have discovered with our collaborators in Baghdad, Iraq, if we irrigate the soil inside these membranes with a very low saline level, we can dilute the salinity. Of course, some of the nutrients, some of the ions are absorbed, cations in particular, absorbed by these saline-resistant crops. So we can reduce the salinity from somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 decisiemens down to 4 to 6. And so I think we might even have another opportunity to begin to address some of the saline problems as well as the drought problems of these sandy soils. And of course, every time we work together with individuals, we like to get things published. So these are four peer-reviewed publications, plus then six abstracts of posters and oral presentations that are at meetings like this. So what I will do is I'll stop, and I think we have two or three or four minutes for questions. Hopefully we've raised some issues that you might say we haven't addressed, and I'd be happy to see if we could continue that discussion. So I'm open for questions. Yes, the economic returns are well established in the United States, and of course things vary by labor, by cost of polyethylene, etc. We do have polymer extruders established and ready to sell us membranes in four regions in China, so that's going to work. We also have worked with John Deere, the company here that's supporting some of our research, and they have the vehicles there to pull the new equipment. So then the question is, how much is the profit of the installer? In the United States, it's costing between $1,500 and $1,700 per acre. And with the increase in maize, it pays for itself in 3.5 to 4 years at current low prices. If we get onto vegetable lands, it increases the vegetables between 40 and 80%, depending upon the vegetable. And that will pay for the installation in less than 1 year to 2 years. So the return on investment, the ROI, is usually 2 to 4 years of increased profits to pay for the installation. Then the next question, the follow-up question, is how long does the membrane last? Well, this is a linear low-density polyethylene, and as long as we keep it below ground, it never, quote, never deteriorates, because UV light is what breaks down polymers, polyethylene. So the Dow Chemical that has developed these polymers 48 years ago, somebody had the insight to bury that in the soil. It's still impermeable. The polymer chemists who have models tell me I should be saying that that polymer will last 200 years. I won't be here to defend that, but it's a long-term investment.
200 years is a long time. Well, one more question.
Okay, well, thank you for your attention. It's good to see you first thing in the morning. So have a good day.